We still doing LeBron numbers. Make Rihanna want the down on her. Bag alert. Go out on the duffel. So much rage up on the plate. Niggas swear I'm shaving truffle. El Chapo noticed me. He said, wait forever, my lady. Got bricks for Joe to see.
Yo. Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. Hope everybody been good. For the folks that's joining me live, both on Facebook Live and Periscope, thank you. Appreciate you all being here. I'm looking forward to having a good conversation, man. People have been like, "What a podcast at? We ain't seen you." I've been busy, yo. I was traveling. I've been working. There's a lot of new things happening in my life, man. I'm trying to be out in these streets and trying to do something, trying to add some value. So just a quick life update. I got to go back home for a little bit. Well, Oakland is my home. I'm an Oakland boy. But I was born in Chicago, and I got to go out there and do some work out there and go visit some schools and got to go see family. I got family sprawled all out through that thing. My parents actually happened to be out there at the same time. They stayed an extra day on a trip, and they picked me up from the airport and got to see all the different parts of my family, from the Black Bougie. I love my auntie. That's one of my favorite people. Straight to the places where we come from directly, man. Where it's the reality is the Chicago that I remember growing up in. And Chicago's rough right now. It's been rough. It's always been rough. But you know, some parts are rougher than others. And I have family members that live in Chicago, and some of them ain't never even seen downtown Chicago. It's like a different place. And you know, it's crazy. I talk about my parents a lot on here, and I love Chicago, man. I mean, I know Oakland way better because this is where I'm at. It's where I grew up. But probably the best thing that my parents could have did was get us up out of Chicago. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that in a disrespectful way. It's just it is really real in Chicago right now. You know what I'm saying? And like, I went to go visit some schools out there. The first stop I hit was Chicago Heights, where I have family members that live. And it's, you know, that reality is real, man. And it just reminded me of, it brought back a lot of memories of like growing up and the stuff that I was around. And so, but love Chicago. I'll talk a little bit more about the stuff I got to see out there. The other change that's in my life that I haven't really talked, somebody asked if I used to teach at Tech. I did not teach at Tech. I did do a lot of work at Tech. I worked with a lot of teachers at Tech and with principals, and I had a bunch of students at Tech. So that's probably why you thought that I taught at Oakland Tech. So for the folks that's not in Oakland, Oakland Tech is a high school in Oakland. I haven't really shared it broadly, but I started a doctoral program. I've been working on that. I actually have a friend that's in that program. We started together. That was a cool little surprise or whatnot. It wasn't something I was totally planning on doing, but ended up just jumping into that and doing that. And so that's actually, that is taking up a huge amount of time. And what I mean by that is like, yo, I've missed this weekend, this nice 3-day weekend, right? Like, I have missed some real, I've missed like a bunch of text messages that I thought I replied to that I didn't, a bunch of phone calls. I mean, people thought I was busy before, and like, yo, y'all just gonna have to forgive me. Y'all gonna have to charge it to my head and not my heart. So some of the things that I got going on now is I'm still writing. The writing has been going really well. Thank y'all for supporting. I published something in Huffington Post that did pretty well, and then did that in you know, that same article got published in Education Post, and between those two, it was thousands and thousands of views and shares, and that was dope, man. And then it ended up getting picked up by Ebony. And so I had an article in Ebony, and the article was basically talking about ways that black parents could ensure that they're getting the best education for their kids, regardless if their kids go to a traditional public school, a charter school, or a private school. I don't care what you choose. I think that you should be able to choose whatever you want. But there are a lot of people that have an issue when black poor people make a choice other than a traditional public school. So there are people out there that don't like when black families choose to go to a school different from the one in their neighborhood, whether it be a charter or even a private school. There are some folks that don't like that. And that's wild to me. To me, that's wild. I don't like that's a like I have people that are like that argued with the article and saying that those people need to send their kids to school X. And it's like, yo, like, first off, some of y'all go to like private schools. Like, you went to a private school. So it's real different for you if you don't know that parent that lives in the south side of Chicago where she is afraid to send her kid to that school. And my job, what I believe is I think that we should have quality schools, whether they be a traditional public, whether they be a charter, whether they even be a private school. Because this is the thing. I played basketball. I got friends that ended up playing basketball and getting scholarships at private schools. And so, you know, I think that, and that's an opportunity that those families jumped on. But here's the thing with that, right? Even in those schools, they're not always serving black folks the best way that they could be served. So here's the thing, right? When you start going into a person's home that's struggling, that's poor, that's a single mom, that got two jobs and like three kids and is trying to work things out, and they make a decision around education that puts their child in the best position, I just don't think that I have the liberty to tell that parent what they should or shouldn't do. And that's what I wrote about. And so there was a lot of support for those articles, but there was a lot of people that sent a lot of tweets, that sent me a lot of inbox messages, that emailed me. And it was just wild, man. And there are people. Here's the other thing that I'm noticing about black folks. I am noticing, tell me this, if you black and you got the coin and you sent your baby to a private school, and now you talking about privatization or whatever the case is, right? You don't like charters or privates or whatnot, but you sent your own kids to a private school. You went to a private school. There are people that are now black folks that are ashamed to say that they sent their kid to a private school. Why? Why are you ashamed to talk about you sending your kid to get the best possible opportunity they could get? I don't have kids, but if I had kids in the coin and I wasn't happy with the schools around me, my kid was going to Saint something. I don't know, Saint Penn. My kid is going to Saint Penn if I can afford it. Or my kid is going to the charter school, or my kid is going to this neighborhood school that I like. Or guess what? Maybe I'm gonna try to get my kid up into a different type of school, but when you understand this, let me tell you how real it is in Oakland, all right? Here's some statistics for you that a lot of people don't know. If you are a black male living in Oakland and you don't graduate from high school, 9 out of 10 of those people will see a jail cell. Like, that's how real it is. 9 out of 10 of those people will see a jail cell at some part of their life. So when I hear that, right? As a person who both his parents, I visited both my parents in jail. If my parents had an opportunity to send me to a St. Leo or a St. Mary's or a Bishop O'Dowd or whatever, and they didn't do it, bro, we would have had a real problem. So in this struggle, man, this fight around making sure our kids got the best, there are a lot of folks that don't grow up where we grow up, that don't experience the things that black folks experience, telling people what they should do and how they should do it. Now, I'm not an advocate for any, like, I don't, you know, you a advocate for charges and this and that. I'm an advocate for good education, bro. And I think that people need to have the right to make a decision, because black folks, we got some type of power. When you make those choices and you decide to send your kids somewhere else, that is a political statement. So people going to tell you that you taking money from the system, you doing this. Nah, man. That's this thing called, is money attached to your child when your child goes to a school, whether it's a traditional public or a charter school. Those dollars, you're not stealing those dollars from the system. Those are your kids' dollars. Those dollars are earmarked for your child. So it should follow your child. Now, I'm not about to get into like these extreme cases of like this charter school or that and the third, because here's the thing. I don't think any school, I don't think any system, let me say, not say school, because I think there are great traditional public schools. I think there are great charter schools, and I do consider charter schools public schools, and there are great private schools, right? But there are also really whack traditional schools. There are also really whack charter schools, and there are also really whack private schools, especially when you're talking about poor black people. So I want to see black folks have the tools and the language and the ability to make sure that their kids are getting what they deserve, because I've been doing this stuff for a while as a social worker, as somebody working directly with youth, as somebody supporting teachers, and now somebody working in the top office of a district. I have seen what happens when our kids don't get the best that they deserve. So I wrote that article, and then I caught flack from a bunch of people, but it's good because it's online, and no, these is like people that get to say crazy stuff online, and sometimes you got to remind them, like, hey, I'm not a tough dude, I'm not no bully, but bro, you might have to see me at some point. You can't be calling, you know, you just can't be calling black parents names because they're trying to make other decisions. So when I went to Chicago, I visited this school called Urban Prep. It's the school that's been sending, that has stayed in the news for the last, what, 4 or 5 years, that sent all of their kids to college. It's an all-boys school. They sent all their babies to college. And then they catch their flag. They get whatever they get. They say that they push kids out or whatever. But fam, in Inglewood, Illinois, Inglewood, California is pretty rough too, but Inglewood, Illinois, let's just say they got 500 kids. And let's say 10% of those kids don't make it through. Let's say for whatever reason, 10% of those kids have to leave, pushed out, whatever you want to call it. Bruh. They still sent 450 kids from Chicago, boys, black boys, to college. Now, college ain't the end-all, be-all, okay? Let me be very clear with you, okay? But what it represents is it represents an opportunity to be able to have upward mobility in your life. It is difficult for you to be successful as a black person, that does not come from a specific set of means, all right? Now, you're going to go to Zuckerberg, you're going to talk about like all these other people, Steve Jobs that dropped out. They came from a family of means on some level. And even Steve Jobs' story, whom I know, Steve Jobs is one of my heroes. I know that entire story. I know he was adopted. I know his parents came from, like, they wasn't rich. But, bro, they were still living in Palo Alto, B. Like, they were still living in the Silicon Valley area, and they were able to send him to Reed College. So just the resources that he got and what was at stake for him to take those chances, I just want y'all to be able to have a choice. I don't care. Like, we can work on the way you make that choice and the type of choices that you make, but we like, you having a choice is important, all right? Now, just know that. Know that, and like, understand that you got a little bit more power than you think. Know that these people, listen, man, if you are from a marginalized community, you are setting up, this world is looking at you. They may marginalize you. They may get mad when you don't stand for the national anthem, but they dress like you. They talk like you. They do their hair like you. When they do cornrows, they call it boxer braids or whatever. Man, you come from a beautiful people. I shouldn't have to say these things, and you shouldn't have to feel under attack for saying these things, but that's just where we are. So whatever. I was in my neighborhood today. I had to do laundry, and we were talking Oh, I got a question around what's the end goal. Somebody asked me what the end goal for education is. The end goal for education, I think, is different for different people. All right. The end goal for education is to be able to afford you different opportunities so you can raise your family the way that you want to raise your family, so you can have means and start to build up wealth in your family. All right. So when I went to college, because that was my hustle. I wasn't built to sell drugs. I wasn't built to go out and grind. I played basketball, but I wasn't going to the league. I'm 5'10". I was 165 pounds, 170 pounds in. I wish I was that now. I'm not. There's some meat over here now. But, you know what I'm saying? But what it did, when I do have children, if I have children, hopefully I don't. But if I have children, I want my kids to actually enjoy college, because for me, I enjoy parts of it, but it was my hustle. It was my way to not have to go through the stuff that my parents went through. You understand? Like when you watch your parents smoke crack, when you watch your parents in and out of jail, when you go to 11 schools, when you homeless, when you got to move from Chicago to Kentucky, then back to Chicago, then back to Kentucky, and then catch a bus to Oakland, and then you live there, and then you the person with the accent. When you go through that stuff, I was very clear that I did not want to have to repeat those things in life. I watch how hard my parents have to work. Like, I make way more than both of my parents, but right now combined. And I probably work half as hard. I work hard, but I probably worked half as hard as they had to work to get them crumbs. So for me, education was my hustle. It was my way out. What I want education to be for offsprings of mine is a way for them to learn how to think and learn how to communicate in different ways with different people in different parts of the world. What I want for my kids is for, if they do go to college, when they go to college, I want them to be going abroad. I want them to travel. I want them to see things. I want them to experience different types of people. You feel me? Like, that's what I want. So all this stuff about people and choice and these different arguments over here and over there, man, I'm not with that. I'm not for that. Like, I think black people deserve to have a choice. And if you're not being served the way that you need to be served, then you deserve some options. And you currently have those. Exercise them. My job as somebody that works at a district is to build schools. Not that I need to force you to go to, but to build schools and support those schools that make you want to go there. So one of the things that made me happiest last year is working at the school that I went to in elementary school, which was not a good elementary school. People can say whatever they want, but the elementary school I went to was not a good one. But what we did is we worked with those parents, and we gave those parents a voice, and we showed those parents data. We showed those parents, like, yo, your babies are not getting what they deserve. Let me take you around and show you some other places that's teaching black and brown poor kids. And they saw stuff they ain't never seen before, and then they made demands. We helped to move that school into a brand new building across the street that had been retooled, reworked, brand new furniture, because those kids deserve it. And the program part needs to catch up, but those kids deserve new furniture, man. Those kids deserve green space. They deserve grass. You feel me? Like, I gotta fight with you because kids need grass? Come on, bruh. And so I had these conversations with my friends. I have a book club. And the things that we end up fighting over, man, like, it's just crazy stuff, man. It's just in a new place, and I'm learning how to deal with folks, and I'm learning how to have to use my words, and learning how to, like, how to not have to, you know what I'm saying? I've been on panels with people, and those people have said something in the spirit of discourse. But it was something so disrespectful to where I come from and the people that I grew up with. It was so disrespectful to my brother who sends his kids to Berkeley Maynard Academy or other folks in my family that have made different decisions, to where it was like, I've leaned over and been like, hey, man, we should probably have a different type of conversation. And I can't do that. I got to be able to stay in it and just have a conversation with people. But when you seeing people die, it just do something different to you. But anyway, I'm going to switch off of education for a minute, because, yeah, there's other stuff happening. So Narcos came back on TV. I love Narcos. It is a great show. I don't get to watch very much TV, but damn it, I like Narcos, okay? Like, Pablo Escobar was a monster. The movie, I mean, the show was great. So I started watching it, and then there was, thank you for signing on, brother. I appreciate it. There was this other, there was a show I stumbled on called Last Chance U. Yo, when I say Last Chance U is the best thing on TV, it's on Netflix. It's like, it's a documentary about this college, about this community college football team. Where a lot of folk, a lot of these kids is troubled. They didn't make it to D1 for whatever reason, whether it was grades or they got in trouble, whatever. And they play on this super dominant community college team. And it's like poor folks. It's like poor white dudes, poor black dudes from like, and they like in Mississippi, yo. It is, when I say it is the best TV that I've seen, and it brings to the forefront all these things we talk about education and poverty and just the mentality, like as somebody who was an athlete, like I have friends that chased basketball for a long time, right? Like bouncing from school to school to try to make it happen. Like it's the realest stuff I ever watched. And I would highly suggest that you watch Last Chance U. It is real. It is, that is how I spoke in college. It is how my mentality was very similar to a lot of those folks. And it just is something different, man. It just speaks to you in a different way. And I can't push it hard enough. It was so dope that I stopped watching Narcos to watch that entire, I think it was like 6 episodes, and it was well worth it. I was like yelling at the TV and stuff. It was wild, B. It was wild. So that's that. And then the last thing that I think I wanted to touch on and cover, man, was the conversation I had with some young people today in my neighborhood. Somebody asked me how did I change from then. I'll try to incorporate that answer into this part. I go to my old neighborhood, 54th and Gaskill, like all the time. I still get my hair cut over there, and I'm over there. I do my laundry over there. Like I still go to the donut shop there and like sit there and read and stuff, right? So it was these young folks, and we were sitting in while my laundry was doing whatever it needs to do, and I had to do some reading. Because, you know, that damn degree is taking up all my time. And it was some folks that I grew up with that, like it's crazy. The people I grew up with, it's like they kids and, like, nephews and stuff. I'm like, mad old over there now, right? And they closed down the beauty supply because the beauty supply just wasn't popping. The last few years, they ain't really had no customers. The degree is a doctorate degree in education. I'm answering questions live, too, so... If somebody asked me what was the degree in, that's what I was answering. So back to the story. And it was building a Papa John's. And so I told these youngsters, I was like, yo, you got a job? Like you should like put your bid in, right? He was like, nah, man, I'm about to get these little bags off, right? He had these little dime bags of weed he was selling. And I was just like, bruh, like, let's really just go into how much you actually gonna make from that versus the risk that's involved in that. And I was like, bro, weed ain't even popping like that no more. Like people just go into dispensaries now. You live in Oakland. Like, it's decriminalized here. You can just get a card. People can cough, and then they got a card. And they go in to buy weed that way. Why you wanna sell in the corner? Like, he was like, nah, I just gotta make it happen. You feel me? Like... You know, and it was just like, bro, like, but you can get a cool little job here. You in school. You should be in school. He's of high school age. But while you in school, you can, like, get your money and make your tips. And they was like, well, how'd you get through high school, man? Listen, bro, let me tell you, man. I when I was in high school, I had a hustle, B. Like, this is when CD burners was new. So my dad had got, like, this deal at Costco or somewhere. This little cheap computer. But it had... you could burn CDs on it. So I moved, my basketball coach got fired, and I finished high school. I went to Emory for 3 years, and I moved to Stockton with my parents because my parents moved there. Somebody got killed in front of our house, and prices were starting to go up. So we made the great Negro migration, and I moved out to Stockton for my last year of high school. But I came back to the town like every week, every other weekend, because I still got my haircut out here, and like my friends was out here. So I would come and I would get all of the all of the music, right? All the local music. People in Stockton was in love with Oakland. Like these kids, They loved Oakland and they loved LA. Like, they thought they was Bloods and Crips in Stockton. It was wild, right? It bugged me out. So I would come here and I would just get music, download it off of Will's computer. Will had Will was, you know, that's my boy. Y'all seen Will on the podcast before. That's my brother. Will's mom, he was the only person I knew that had a cable modem, yo. Bruh had a cable modem. And so we would just I would just download the music. I would make my book of CDs. And then I'd go back to Stockton. And I would sell those at school. So if you just wanted a straight up copy, it was $5. If you wanted an Oakland mix, $8, bruh. Tell me what you need. I got you, right? I would make them, press them off, sell those, right? I'm making like a little bit of dough. When I was at Emory, I took 7 classes. And then when I went to Bear Creek, it was only 6 classes. So I had more credits than I needed. So I got to work at, I got to work in the blind center. It was like my TA class, but they paid me to do it. So I got to work with blind kids. And it was like my introduction into working with like actually special needs kids. And I was transcribing text into Braille. And they paid me to do it. Like, they gave me good money to do it. So 3 hours a day, I did that, and I went to classes and helped out the blind students and all that stuff. And then I got a job at McDonald's at the mall. First off, hated working at McDonald's. McDonald's is the hardest job I've ever had. And I'm including being a social worker and working at the district. McDonald's is the hardest job I have ever done in my life, yo. I understand why Ray Kroc was that dude, because anyway, I hated McDonald's. I quit. And then I ended up working at a Papa John's. So I had those 3 hustles. I had the CDs. I had the working in the Braille Center, and I was a delivery boy for Papa John's. So I got my money and I got my tips. And I was telling brothers, and I was like, they was like, so what you do, what you spend it on? So I got the jobs because I ultimately wanted shoes. I wanted Jordans, right? Girls like dudes with Jordans. I like girls. So damn it, I wanted some Jordans so girls would like me, whatever, right? But then a Negro saw how much work it took to get that. And then you want me to drop $180 on some shoes. I don't think I want to do that now. I'm not spending my money on that. And so I got like 3 pairs of Jordans. I don't think I bought them or I got them for a stupid deal. But what I was letting them know was, once you like hustle and grind and get your money and you got a bunch of different hustles and you start to see the relationship with money, you know what I'm saying? Like, you start to spend it and think about it differently. Because what little bro was telling me when we was having this conversation was, all he did was sell weed so he can get shoes. And then he was broke again. All right. Like, so he bought some J's, probably went to Old Navy and got some jeans or something like that, or bought like a Gucci belt, a fake one or whatever. And he ain't had no, and that was it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't had nothing else to show for it. And so we just had this whole conversation about how the neighborhood was changing, about all that stuff, man. But just about like he was asking me what I did. It was 2 of them. He was asking me what I did and how I liked doing it. And I talked to him about college and, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, bro, you just like the things that you doing, like those hustles, not even hustles no more. Like, the 90s is gone, bro. People not just selling crack like that no more, dog. Like, it's not even, it's a few people. It's some relics left. But it's now, it's little college white boys are selling Molly on college campuses, dog. Like the market that you was trying to get in, like, if you was listening to 90s hip hop, bro, that stuff is not happening like that no more. You know what I'm saying? So we talked about that. We talked about school. They talked about, like, oh, I ain't that smart. Bro, listen, I wasn't that smart either. Let me keep it 100 with you. I was like, bro, I'm not, like, the super smart dude that's just doing quantum physics in their head, dog. Like, bro, I got to read stuff over and over to get it. College ain't about being smart. It's about learning how to think. First off, undergrad is about sticking in there. All degrees I got, dog, is because I stuck in there. It wasn't because I was some profound philosopher and all this stuff, man. It was just, nah, bro, you got knocked down. You got knocked on your ass. Did you get up? That's it. Don't nobody ask you how long it took or none of that stuff. And like I said, college may not be for everybody, but normally the people that say that tend to have degrees. So I'm going to just say that again. People will say stuff like college ain't for everybody, but when it comes to their kids, they making sure their kids got access to college. So you can rock with that however you want to rock with it, man. But at any rate, I'm going to stop blabbing. I know I ain't talking about much of nothing, man, but I missed y'all. And apparently some of y'all missed me because y'all been harassing me about getting this podcast out and getting it up. So that's what's up. You got it. I'll be back to do another one. We close to 150,000, so thank you. And like I said, I got some surprises in store for when we get to 150,000. So when it thank you for the people that watched it live. If you can listen to it, get on iTunes, get it wherever, and you know, and keep supporting that, man. And I'll have a nice surprise for people. And keep the questions coming. I know some folks asked to be on. If it's something that you want to do and you want to be on, you can tweet me at @CColeIII. That's at @CColeIII. If you are on Facebook, it's just my name. And if you're one of my friends, you can just say, hey, I want to be on. And if you got to, you know, we can make it happen. But, you know, like that's that. Lisa Walker has a question before I close. Sign off. Lisa, what is your question, darling? I've known Lisa for a long time. When I was starting my career as a social worker, Lisa was there. So I will stop. I will not sign off yet to answer your question, Lisa, even though I'm over the mark. I'm going to give her a chance to ask her question. But yeah, man, like, so that's just, you know, I'm blessed to do what I'm able to do, what I get to do. Like, I'm blessed to be able to travel and stuff, man. And I'm blessed to be able to go into a job that I care about, that I see as a career, that's not like a job. You know what I'm saying? And I don't take that lightly. Like I am constantly reflective. Like, I work two blocks away from the shelter that I grew up in. You feel me? Like I don't, that's not a light thing for me. You feel me? So I just want to, you know, so I work hard to make sure that kids that grew up the way that I did, like, have that same type of chance. You know what I'm saying? Lisa, ask the question. Lisa, I'm waiting. Go ahead. But I that's something that's just important to me. You know what I'm saying? So push your kids, man. Push the people in the neighborhood, yo. Like push. You know what I'm saying? Because this education thing, it ain't that. It ain't just about, I mean, people argue about test scores and they're arguing about a whole bunch of other stuff. I do want some type of testing because I want to make sure that you doing what you need to do, right? But just know that usually when we fail, when schools fail us, it ain't that we just getting a bad score. It ain't that, you know what I'm saying, we might not go to the college we want to go to. Like, real things, real bad things happen to us and our people. Like kids die. You know what I mean? Like they die. So I will try to do a better job of being a professional with these people when I get into skirmishes and arguments and fights. But we got to start doing a better job of educating our people. And we got to make this stuff interesting. And we got to be able to be real with people. And we got to show our people. Young folks want to hear how they can make money. They want to hear how they can, like, sustain themselves and build the lives they want to live. And you keep talking about Christopher Columbus, it's going to be rough. You know what I'm saying? Somebody asks, how do you communicate the importance of education and responsibility to young people? I think you show them what's possible. I think you got to get them out from behind them walls, and I think that you got to show them what they can do. I think that they have to see. So Steph Curry is a beast. If your kid on his wall only got a picture of Steph Curry or Jerry Rice, I say the ratio is 3-1. Put some other professionals that look like them up on their wall in a 3-1 ratio. You know what I'm saying? Like, so at schools, you know, you got to incorporate these things in the young folks. You know what I'm saying? I'm somebody that loved Michael Jordan. Yo, but if I had known that there were black sports agents that was out there doing and wrecking shop, that's probably something that I would have aspired to, too. And I would have learned that I need to do X, Y, and Z to get to be that. I've told the story about when I watched Jerry Maguire and I wanted to be like Jerry Maguire. Like, I wanted to be a sports agent and doing all that stuff. But Jerry Maguire might as well have been Batman. Like, it just wasn't a real thing to me. So show them other examples of what success is. There are other ways to be successful aside from me playing a sport, aside from me doing music, aside from me selling drugs. You know what I'm saying? And, like, sometimes it takes, you know, sometimes it takes some drastic measures, you know, The last thing I would say, man, my book club, we reading a new book. We're reading The Spook That Sat by the Door. I think that the people on this should read that book. It's a movie. You can go watch the movie for free on YouTube. The Spook That Sat by the Door. I won't say much more about it. You should definitely watch that movie. I love it. It's one of my favorite books. So with that being said, if y'all got more questions, hit me up. I'll make sure we continue the conversation. And thank y'all for rocking with me as always. And somebody said, read Invisible Man, brother. It's one of my favorite books. I've definitely read Invisible Man. I know it quite well. That's a good one as well. With that being said, man, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Stand up for yours, man. Stand up for you and yours. Stand up for you and yours. Don't let these people take your stuff away, because they will. I promise you. With that being said, man, God bless. Peace.
Get away, get away, get away now. Get away, get away, gotta get away. Get away, get away, get away now. Get away, get away, get away now. Get away, get away, get away now. Get away, get away, get away, gotta get away.
It was me, Rap Marlo. No book bag, had a bag full of dope. Gotta move fast one time, crease flow. No telling what I would've did for the dope. Watching my neck, cause they play a cutthroat. Can't go home, they just kicked in the door. I don't know who it was, but I know somebody told. Bang, hoping ain't nobody I know. Shh. Just another nigga out that nine. Never go nowhere without my nine. Really, I'm out my mind. Paranoid, I've been hit 6 times. And only Lord knows I need headlights on this dark road. I'm seeing dead men. Thought I saw Mike at the crossroads. Tryna drop my past. Never know what the future holds. When you're nothing but a hoodlum, going up against the shows. The street James Brown, me is in my soul since 10 years old. I was in a man's world, never did what I was told, only done what I was showed. Daddy selling crack, so guess what I sold.
Get away, get away, get away now. Get away, get away, get away now.
Get away, get away, gotta get away. Get away, get away, get away now.